Barhayate te nayane naranam lingani vishno nanirikshato jehi pado nirnam to drumajanma bajo kshetrani nanu prajato hadirjao. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, his forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu, forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sitaram especially, or any other form of the Lord, like Narasingha, Baraha, Gauranithai, Matsya, Kurma, Shalagram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu, like Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudev, Narayan, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnav Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and all members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from 4 a.m. till night at 10 p.m. by performing Mangalarti, Niranjan, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Sringar, Bhoga, Vaikali, Sandhya Artrika, Patha, Bhoga at night, Shayana Artik, etc. Brahmachari life is very easy. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householders to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the archana process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge, and that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo-spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verses in that description reads, Shivigraharadhana Nityanana Sringarathan Mandira Marajanado Yuktasya Bhaktam Chanyan Chatopi Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Sri Vigraha is the archa or suitable worshipful form of the Lord, and the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the Digri regularly by Sringar, by proper decoration and dressing, as also by Mandira Marajana, the matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help them gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple, where all the performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated, sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. I meant to read another verse, but we learned some very special knowledge from Prabhupada there. Jivan chavo bhagavatam gridenum na jatu martyo bilabeta yastu Shri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya swasan chavo yastu na veda gandam. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form not visible to our present vision and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees nor for the Vishnu deity in the temple create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee, and this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession, or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Jad Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of the Paramhamsa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows, O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramhamsa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the devotees of household life, the chanting of Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bharatur Padakamalior Dasa Dasanudas, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the Gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants. And thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to the lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Every year, on the 8th day of the waxing moon of the month of Bhadra or Rishikesh, we come together to celebrate the most blessed event of the appearance of Srimati Radharani in this world. Once in a day of Brahma, which is over a billion years, does Lord Krishna appear in his original form. And 15 days after the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna, his eternal pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, appears to reveal the transcendental pastimes of the spiritual world. People are very attracted to achieve spiritual knowledge. But the purpose of knowledge, Krishna explains in Gita, is love. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavam mampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabaha. After many, many births and deaths of practicing various religious systems and cultivating knowledge, when one actually comes to the point of true knowledge, Vasudeva Saravamiti Samahatma Sadurlava. Such a person surrenders to Vasudev. Such a Mahatma is very rare. Now today we could call anyone a Mahatma. But according to Krishna and the Shastra, what is a Mahatma? Mahatmanastu mam parata. A Mahatma is one who takes complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who surrenders to the Lord, and thus, by the mercy of the Lord, transcends the modes of material nature. Thus, the culmination of all true spiritual paths is love for Krishna. Savai pung sangparo dharamo yato bhakti radhoksha jaya hoita ki aprati hata yagatma suprasidati. The Bhagavatam declares that the supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings about the awakening of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. We're all looking for satisfaction. But Bhagavatam explains, unless our service to the Lord is unconditional and uninterrupted,
it will not bring real satisfaction to the heart. Love is beyond knowledge. Oftentimes in spiritual circles, one is calculated in their spiritual progress by their knowledge. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayatyasya Vairagyam Jnanam Achyarahaitakam. That the Bhagavatam describes that when one develops pure love for Vasudeva or Krishna, knowledge and renunciation are automatically achieved. Shukadeva Goswami was a 16-year-old boy. He came into an assembly of the most learned, great sages and rishis in the entire universe. Even Vyasadeva was there. Narada Muni was there. Gautam Rishi was there, Vashishtha Muni was there, Atri Muni was there, Bhardraj Muni. Very, very deeply powerful learned scholars and renunciates. Why did they ask Sukadeva Goswami to take the prominent position to speak? Because they recognized his love, his devotion. And when he spoke to Parikshit Maharaj in the presence of all of these great, great learned scholars, he glorified the path of pure, unalloyed love. Because unless knowledge culminates in love, it is superficial. It does not touch the soul. It only entertains the mind and the intelligence and the false ego. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to prove this point because it's so very, very important for all times of people. He played the role of Nimai Pandit. And as Nimai Pandit, he was known as the greatest scholar in the world. When he was a small boy, he was defeating Digvijay pundits. Keshav Kashmiri was such a scholar of the scriptures that every time he opened his mouth, Goddess Saraswati actually moved his tongue. There was nothing he didn't know. He can quote anything from any scripture at any time. He could create immaculate Sanskrit poetry, so eloquent, hundreds and hundreds of verses without even hesitation. And little Nimai Pandit annihilated his false ego and defeated him without hurting his heart. Very expert. So after Nimai Pandit became known as the greatest scholar, he rejected it all to take to the loving service of the Lord and chant the holy name. When Lord Chaitanya came to Varanasi, where he met the most powerful Advaita philosophers headed by Prakashananda Saraswati. He was powerful. They were masters over the scriptures with their interpretations. And Lord Chaitanya came into the room, and after washing his feet, he sat at the place where everyone washed their feet. Now, this is not something that great scholars do. Great scholars and renunciates, they're very happy to take elevated seats. But Gosh, is your mind troubled, my child? Why are you sitting like that? You are a sannyasi, you are in our sampradaya, why don't you sit up here with us? The Lord said, I'm not qualified to sit amongst all of you great renowned scholars. I'm a very simple man. Better I sit in the water that washed your feet. His humility and his effulgence charmed their hearts. They came down off their raised platform and brought him up by his hand. And asked, why don't you come and study Vedanta with us? And Lord Chaitanya, who had already proven to the world he was an undefeatable scholar, there was nothing he didn't know. He said, my Guru Maharaj told me I'm a fool. I shouldn't even waste my time studying Vedanta. I should just chant the names of Krishna. Because by chanting the names of Krishna, the name of Krishna awakens pure unalloyed love within the heart. And after I began to follow my Guru's instruction, tears were pouring from my eyes, my limbs were trembling, my hairs were standing on end. I was thinking, am I going crazy? What's wrong? I went to my Guru and said, what's happening to me? And he said, very good, you have attained the goal of life. Love of God. Now you take this chanting of Hari Nam and you spread it to the whole world. After all, what is the conclusion of scriptures? Kalera dosamide raja nasti heka mahan guna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajet. In the age of Kali, which is an ocean of faults, there is one benediction. That simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, we can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. And he told Lord Chaitanya to decorate his heart with this particular verse. Haranama, 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 Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nasdeva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way except the chanting of the Lord's name, Hari, in order to attain the perfection of life. Then they discussed philosophy. And although Lord Chaitanya took such a humble position that he was a fool, he didn't know anything, he was only concerned with chanting Hari Nam on the basis of scripture, he totally defeated every one of their arguments. What is it? Prabhupada used the explanation, Vedanta means to kick the teeth out of these people who have misconceptions. Danta, Vedanta. Prakashananda Saraswati and all 60,000 of his followers, tens and thousands, they were mesmerized by his mastery of the scriptures. But Lord Chaitanya made it very clear that the only success of any endeavor is to the degree we please Krishna. Because only when we please Krishna, who is Bhakta Vatsal, does he reveal his mercy upon us, and only that mercy can awaken our love. Lord Chaitanya taught, Prema Pumartha Mahan. There are many goals of life that people strive to achieve. The four basic goals that people strive for by a spiritual path are economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, and liberation. But the fifth goal, which is the only true goal of life, is prema, pure devotional service, beyond even liberation. Sukadev Goswami, he gave up everything of the world for that prema. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he renounced the most wonderful family life to become a sannyasi, just to become completely free to give that prema to the world. And Krishna, personally and directly and through his many avatars, descends into this material existence just to give us the opportunity to awaken that love. So it is love of God that is the ultimate purpose of life. Even in the Christian scripture and the Jewish scripture, the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. When you love God, you will naturally love your neighbor. Because you will understand, unless you understand yourself, how can you love anyone else as yourself? Self-realization is to learn to love God. What is the origin of that love? What is the ultimate summit bonum of that love? Where does that love come from and how to achieve it? That is what the celebration of Radhashtami is about. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rasmat Ekat Manava Pibu Vibhava Deha Vidam Gatao Tao. That the Supreme Absolute Truth is one. There is one God. But that one God has unlimited variegatedness. The Mayavadis, their conception is, if there is one God, there can be nothing else. And therefore, everything and anything that has variegatedness must be illusion. And that one absolute truth is the undifferentiated, impersonal, supreme. This is their conception of oneness. In order for there to be one, there can be nothing else except that one. Parashti Shaktir Vivadaiva Shruyate. The Upanishads describe that there is one supreme absolute truth, and ultimately there's nothing else. But that one absolute truth has unlimited variegatedness with multifarious energies. The absolute truth is a person. He is Shaktiman, and he is the source of all Shakti or energies. Thus, the Lord expands himself into so many incarnations and expansions for his own divine purposes. One of his expansions is Jiva Shakti, or the unlimited spirit souls that are all, each and every one, an eternal part and parcel of the Lord. Just like the sun planet is emanating countless sun rays that are all qualitatively exactly the same as the sun, but quantitatively only little particles. The philosophy that synthesizes all knowledge and brings about the awakening of the highest revelation of the Supreme is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Some people claim that God is one and there could be nothing else. And others say, no, everything is differentiated. But Lord Chaitanya extracted from the scriptures that yes, God is one, and simultaneously there is inconceivable oneness and variegatedness. The living entity is one with God in quality, but in quantity we are part and parcel. Similarly, this material world, which is the Bahirangi Shakti of the Lord, is one with God, but it is simultaneously different than the Lord. The manifestations are temporary. Mayad yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The whole material nature is working under the direction of the Lord. It is all ultimately emanating from the Lord. Janmad yashagyata. Everything is emanating from the Lord. We cannot call this material world an illusion. It's real. And material energy is eternal. It is God's energy. But the manifestations with this material energy are temporary. Even scientists will say you cannot destroy matter. All you could do is transform it. So what is material energy but just an endless cycle of transformation of the elements? Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamanor bhutaheva ahankara iti ame bina praktirashtata. There is earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. These are the eight primary material elements, gross and subtle. And when these eight material elements are under the influence of the three modes of material nature, sattvaguna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, and activated by Krishna, who enters in the form of time, the time factor stimulates movement and interactions between the modes of material nature, the eight gross elements, the five knowledge-acquiring senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, and the objects of the senses, sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. And then the working senses, the two arms, the two legs, the tongue that makes sound, the anus and the genitals. The five working senses, the five objects of the senses, the five knowledge-acquiring senses, mixed with the three modes of material nature and the eight material elements. And then there is the false ego, the mind, the intelligence. They are all activated by time. And time manifests from the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, within this eternal material energy, there is endless transformations. Dehino smin yatha dehe komaram yovaram chara. Krishna explains in Gita that besides this external material energy, there is another energy, which is the spirit soul, which is eternal, imperishable. And when that soul enters into the body, it witnesses the various changes of boyhood, youth, old age, and similarly time of death, the spirit soul enters into another form. Actually, there's no such thing as death. Huh? Anyone who could tolerate me, I should be grateful to them. There is no such thing as death. There is only transformation. Parastasmat tubhavan yo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. But Krishna reveals there is another nature, a spiritual nature, which is beyond all the temporary manifestations of this world. That is the spiritual energy of the Lord. And that is our nature. So yes, there is inconceivable oneness and difference between everything that exists and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The purpose of life is to understand our relationship with God, our relationship with material nature, our relationship with various other living beings within this world. And it is all based essentially on the principle of love. That is the culmination of all perfection, to realize the nature of the soul is to love God, as the Christians say, with all your heart, mind, and soul. And as Krishna says in Gita, Sarva dharman puritya ja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papyebhyo mokshayishami masacha. We should abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. When Krishna talks about surrender, he doesn't mean like an enemy surrendering when they're defeating. He is speaking about the willful, natural offering of the heart in love. Krishna is the source of all beauty. He's all attractive. The more we know Krishna, the more we love Krishna. Krishna, who is that one supreme absolute truth, expands himself as Srimati Radharani, who is the Ladini Shakti and the source of all other energies of the Lord. Srimati Radharani is love and compassion personified. Thus, Krishna is the supreme object of love, the Vishaya, and Srimati Radharani is the supreme abode of love, the Ashraya. And the pastime of love, God loving himself in the form of Sri Radha and Krishna, is the eternal lila, or the eternal pastime of the spiritual world. And all living beings have been created to assist in that most attractive and dynamic pastime of Sri Radha Gopinath. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are beyond all material inebrieties. It is not a pastime of a boy and a girl, like in this world. Shukadev Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, they were the supreme most renunciates. And their entire lives and souls were striving just to be the servant of the servant of Radharani in her loving service to Lord Krishna. It is love on the purest, highest spiritual platform. And Srila Prabhupada in this beautiful purport is explaining that if we want to approach Krishna, the Absolute Truth, we must approach through devotee. And Srimati Radharani is the original supreme devotee. To be the servant of her love, Prabhupada explains, is the sure path of perfection. So we'd like to speak something about the nature of the love of Srimati Radharani and her compassion this evening for a few minutes. Vedavyas, who is an incarnation of the Lord himself, he compiled the Rig Veda, the Sama Veda, the Yadur Veda, and the Atharva Veda. He compiled 108 Upanishads. He compiled the Mahabharata, over 100,000 beautiful Sanskrit poetic verses.
He compiled Itihastas, Puranas, Vedanta Sutra. He was living in Badrikashram, but he was not satisfied, because he was doing it all for the welfare of all of humanity. So much effort he made into writing all these literatures, why wasn't he satisfied?
Then his Gurudev Narada Muni came to the scene on the bank of Saraswati and revealed to him that you have cheated the world.
Because yes, you are teaching about the highest goal, but in all the scriptures you're mixing that highest goal with so many lesser forms of religion. You should write one scripture where you exclusively expound pure unalloyed devotion, which is the only true goal of life, which is the only constitutional nature of the soul that can satisfy the heart, and reveal the supreme glories of Krishna in his original form as he has appeared in this world. So on that basis, the cream of all Vedic literatures, the Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, was composed. Dharma Prajita Kaitravat Paramaniramatsaranam Satam. Vedavyas declares, from the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all cheating religions. And he declares here such a high scripture that anything that compromises pure, selfish, unconditional, loving service to Lord Krishna is a cheating religion. Hare Krishna. And he writes about the Pandavas, about Prahlad Maharaj's love for Lord Vishnu and Narasingha Dev, Ambarish Maharaj's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The culmination is the 10th canto, where Krishna's Leela is described. And in the 10th canto of Krishna's pastimes, the most priceless jewels within the treasure house of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's Leela is the 5 chapters describing Krishna's Ras Leela with gopis. Because it is there that the essence and the purpose of the Bhagavatam is revealed in its highest. The gopis of Vrindavan manifested the highest state of detachment and love. When they left everything of their lives behind as utterly insignificant to please Krishna on the full moon night of the Sarat season. And therein, Krishna tells gopis, I have no way to repay you. We were discussing this morning, Krishna tells in Gita, Yega tamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mamuvart manuvartante manusya parata sarvasya. It is his promise. As you surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. But Krishna's admitting defeat. He said, your love for me is so deep, so sweet, and so pure, I can't reciprocate. I have no power. Everything that I have and I am in an entire day of, in an entire lifetime of Brahma, I could never repay you for your love. You've given up everything that is most dear and difficult for my pleasure without a second thought. I have no power to repay you. In this statement, Krishna revealed the supreme position of the gopis.
Krishna has in Vaikuntha, unlimited goddesses of fortune. But millions and millions and millions of goddesses of fortune do not equal even one of the gopis of Vrindavan in the purity and spontaneous nature of their love. So Krishna satisfied gopis, but then in the Raslila, Krishna left them all. Why did he leave them all? Why did Vedavyas explain this in this way? His son Sukadev Goswami is narrating to Parikshit Maharaj that he left all gopis for one. They were searching by following his footprints, and they saw his footprints mixed with another gopi's footprints. And gopis declared, Aniya Radito, that this one particular gopi, her love and worship of Krishna is supreme. And in this word, Aradhana, Aradhyato, Aniradhyato, the name of Srimati Radharani is indirectly revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadev Goswami, it is described by the Acharyas, is Srimati Radharani's pet parrot in the spiritual world. He had 7 days to discuss the Bhagavatam to Sukadev Goswami. If he would have directly spoken the name of Sri Radharani, he may have gone into such an ecstatic trance that he may not have finished the Bhagavatam in time before the snake bird came to catch Parikshit Maharaj. And also there is a principle called Aparokshita, where when you want to speak something very, very sweet, you don't speak directly, but you speak indirectly. Just like when a very chaste lady covers herself with her veil to refine men, it makes her more beautiful. So Sukadev Goswami, to enhance the sweetness of the importance of Srimati Radharani, spoke her name indirectly. And also there were all kinds of people listening. And he wanted to speak in such a way that those who were meant to understand would understand clearly. According to the great Acharyas, the real purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam was through this chapter to reveal the supreme love of Srimati Radharani. And what is the nature of that love? Srimati Radharani reveals her heart in the scriptures that Krishna is 100 million times more dear to her than her own life breath. Ashlisya va padaratam banashta mama darshana marmahatam karotu va. Her only pleasure in life is Krishna's pleasure. She's willing to do anything and everything for Krishna's pleasure, with absolutely no concern for her own existence. She states that if serving Krishna means I have to undergo immense, intolerable distress, then that distress is my greatest happiness, because it pleases Krishna. She is the fountainhead of all unconditional love. And whatever love any living entity can have on this spiritual platform is but an insignificant part and parcel of the love that is emanating from Srimati Radharani.
Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktyatvananya yashakya aham evam vidurjana gyatam drastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantapa.
It is only by undivided devotional service that I can be understood as I am standing here before you. Why? Because Srimati Radharani is the reservoir of all undivided devotional service. Wherever there is a trace of her love manifesting through us, Krishna is conquered by even that. Krishna proclaims that he's conquered by the love of his devotee. In instances, he says, I am the prisoner in the heart of my devotee who loves me. Why? Because that love has its origin in Srimati Radharani. To access her love is the ultimate perfection of life. And any one of us, simply by receiving her grace, can achieve that perfectional state. It is our nature. Srimati Radharani not only reveals the highest principle of love, but she's also the supreme guru, in that she is teaching all of us what is the perfection of love. Rupa Goswami writes that when Srimati Radharani is feeling separation from Krishna, her love is increasing unlimitedly. Actually, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He can never leave the hearts of his devotees who love him with spontaneous devotion. But he appears to leave Vrindavan in a physical way only to increase the intensity of the love of his devotees. And within the heart of those devotees, he is perfectly reciprocating with them. When Krishna left for Mathura and Dwarka, it is described the residents of Vrindavan cried for the rest of their lives. Now, is this what we want to do? How many of you would accept this proposal? If someone would tell you, give up everything, and the result will be that you will cry for the rest of your lives. The tears of this world bring pain to the heart. But when we cry for Krishna, in separation from Krishna, those tears are like water that nourish our devotion. Because Krishna is not different than his name, Krishna is not different than his form, Krishna is not different than his pastimes, Krishna is not different than his teachings, Krishna is not different than the remembrance of Krishna. So when the Brijavasis are immersed in remembrance of Krishna, that separation intensifies the remembrance and brings it into the deepest, innermost core of their heart, and there Krishna reciprocates and embraces them. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis taught to cultivate these feelings of separation, but not artificially. The inner tears of longing for Krishna water our devotional creeper. But false tears that come from our eyes, Prabhupada explained, they wash away all the conclusions of the Vedas. So there should be nothing artificial. So when Krishna left Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani was in such state of separation. She spoke to Lalita Sakhi. She explained, I cannot maintain my life in the absence of Govinda. Sunyayatam jagat saravam Govinda virahenamay. The Shikshastakam prayers say, in the absence of Krishna, a moment seems like 12 years or more. And the whole material creation is one dreary void. Now for a conditioned soul, even Krishna's standing right in front of us, and we're thinking about all the fantastic opportunities we have within this world to enjoy. Yes? But for a devotee, without Krishna, everything is unpalatable, dreary void. So Radharani continues that I will not be able to maintain my life. My life is for Krishna. If this body dies, then all the elements of the body will be utilized for Krishna's service. In my life, my body, mind, words, and soul, everything is for Krishna's satisfaction. And when I depart from this body, let the earth element of my body mix with the dirt of Vrindavan to give a soft feeling of pleasure to Krishna's lotus feet. And let the water of my body enter into the kundas or the lakes of Vrindavan to refresh Krishna and give him pleasure when he takes his bath. And let the fire element of my body become the light, mix with the light in which Krishna can see himself within the mirror and find happiness. And let the air element of my body mix with the air that is coming from the chamara fan to refresh and cool Krishna. And let the ether, the space element of my body, mix with the space in Vrindavan to facilitate Krishna's wonderful, pleasurable pastimes. She is revealing in life and even in death, her only concern is the service of Krishna, the satisfaction of Krishna. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavata bhakti rahayita kitvai. Radharani speaks through Lord Chaitanya this beautiful verse. I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful women or men. I do not want to be a great scholar or to have followers or prestige. I don't want liberation from suffering. What is the use of that? Birth after birth after birth, whatever you want, Krishna, I want to be your servant unconditionally. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmanya navata. Anukulyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhaktiruttama. Rupa Goswami taught, pure devotional service must be without any egoistic ulterior motives. without desire for any type of fruitive reactions. No desires for sense gratification. No desire for mental speculation, great scholarship, or even liberation. Pure devotional service is the offering of one's heart, one's body, mind, words, and life simply for the pleasure of Krishna, for the satisfaction of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the origin and the supreme embodiment of this highest principle of love. And therefore, Krishna is eternally subordinate to Sri Radharani's love. She is Madan Mohan Mohini. She enchants the heart of Krishna. She is Hara, which means she steals the mind of Krishna. It is explained that Krishna considers himself to be like an ornament decorating the love of Srimati Radharani. In Barasana, there is a very, very sacred hill, Mangara. In this Manlila, Krishna reveals to all the world for all times that love reigns supreme over even the supreme personality of Godhead. Where Krishna places his head upon the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, weeping and crying, begging for her love. This is the highest possible subject matter, which cannot be described in detail in public assemblies. But we speak it just so that we can understand and appreciate the highness and the greatness of the gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us. He's giving us the opportunity to enter into the abode of such love. Where we can be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, who Krishna weeps and begs for her love. And who is Krishna? The Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of everything. But all of his pleasure, all of his happiness comes from Srimati Radharani. His Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells story of during the Basant Ras Lila at Govardhan, Krishna left gopis to increase their intensity, and they were searching everywhere for him. And they came to one place, which is today worshipped as Paita. And there, Krishna was sitting, and he saw the gopis coming. So he wanted to disguise himself. So right there, he manifested his four-armed form of Narayan. Now gopis, they didn't understand Krishna to be the Supreme, but they knew full well that Narayan is Supreme. Yes? They would worship Narayan to protect Krishna. They would worship Narayan in order to facilitate
their devotional service to Krishna. Krishna is the source of Narayan. But the spontaneous nature of their love was so deep that Krishna did not want knowledge of his greatness to interfere with the intimacy of their relationship.
So gopis are running and running, looking for Krishna, looking for Krishna, and there's Lord Narayan, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. And they bow down to Narayan and say, "Oh dear Lord Narayan, please tell us, did you see where Krishna went?" They didn't ask for big houses or liberation or mystic powers. The only thing they wanted to know was, where is Krishna? So Narayan, with his four arms pointed, he went that way. So they ran that way. And shortly after, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the source of all Lakshmis, the source of all the queens of Dwarka, the source of all the gopis. She's the ultimate reservoir of all love. She came before Lord Narayan, who was actually Krishna in disguise. And she asked, "O Lord Narayan, in which way did Krishna go?" And he wanted to do the same things. But in the presence of Srimati Radharani, two of his arms just melted away. And there he was, revealing himself as two-handed Krishna with his flute. He was conquered by the sweet, pure love of his own pleasure potency, Sri Radha. Between Barsana and Nandagaon, there is a beautiful kund of water called Prem Sarovar. It is explained there that Radha and Krishna were sitting together, and a bumblebee came and was hovering around Srimati Radharani's very fragrant, beautiful lotus feet, thinking them to be a lotus flower. So seeing that this was disturbing her, Krishna told his friend Madhu Mangal, "Chase this bumblebee away." So Madhu Mangal, very dynamic and enthusiastic to carry out the order, chased that bumblebee to a distant place and came back and said, "Madhu is gone and Madhu will never return." Because Madhu is a name for bee, but it's also a name of Krishna, who is Madhusudan. And it's also Madhu because he's the essence of all sweetness. So when he said Madhu is gone and he will never return, Srimati Radharani was thinking he's talking about Shamsundar. They're sitting right next to each other. But just the thought that he's away. What is it? Prema Vaichitra. She went into ecstasy of separation. That Madhu is gone. Shamsundar is gone. And he'll never return. And she was crying and crying and crying. And Krishna saying, "I'm right here. I'm next to you." And she's going, "Madhu is gone and he'll never return." And when Krishna saw her love, with just the thought of his imminent leaving, he began to cry. She fell to the ground. He fell to the ground. They both wept so many tears that the confluence of their tears filled that lake with water. Prem Sarovar. It is the lake of the tears of Radha and Krishna for each other. That is how Krishna is conquered by the love of Srimati Radharani. There is a beautiful and famous story. Should I continue?
No!
Your blessings, Pragoshwari. He has blessed me. It is described by our acharyas that Krishna was with the gopis during the day herding cows.
When suddenly he felt immense, irresistible separation
from Srimati Radharani. So he called one of his most intimate cowherd boyfriends, Subal. He said, Subal, please, I'm desperately feeling separation in love from Sri Radha. Bring her to me immediately. And Subal said, it's in the middle of the day. She's not allowed to see you. It's impossible. And Krishna said, if I do not see her, I will not be able to maintain my life. It is unbearable, my separation. By some means or other, bring her here. So Subal went to Yavat. And there, he was wondering, how is this possible? So he went to a house of Srimati Radharani, secretly. And there he met with other gopis, Radharani's maidservants. And he told them that Krishna wants to see Radharani now. They said, it's not possible, it's the middle of the day. Her parents will never let her come. In-law parents. Said Krishna will not be able to maintain his life. So they devised a plan. Subal gave Srimati Radharani her clothes to wear. And Srimati Radharani gave Subal his clothes. Now Subal is very beautiful. And actually his beauty very much resembles Srimati Radharani. He has a golden complexion. Just like this nice painting of Haridas Thakur depicts his beautiful golden form.
So dressed up as Srimati Radharani, Subal came out of... dressed up as Srimati Radharani, Subal remained in the house. And dressed up as Subal, Krishna came out of the house. Radharani came out of the house.
And the in-laws' parents, they said, they looked and said, Subal, what are you doing here? So Radharani, in the guise of Subal, said, I lost a calf. I'm looking for this calf because the mother of this calf, the cow, is in great separation and is mooing in anxiety. Everybody. Something like that. So she picked up a little calf and said, I will bring it to the cow right now. And they said, yes, you go. In this way, Sri Radhika escaped. And she came to the outskirts of the forest where Krishna was waiting with his heart pierced by the arrow of separation. And Krishna was in such a maddened state that when he saw Radharani dressed as Subal, he thought she was Subal. He said, Subal, did you bring my beloved? And Subal said, it's not possible. It's in the middle of the day. I could not possibly release her. So Krishna began to weep uncontrollably. He said, I will not be able to maintain my life. I have no power to do so. And then Srimati Radharani, in the guise of Subal, said, well, what if I go and get Chandravali for you? She was testing him. And Krishna said, no. When one is thirsty for milk, what will dry curd do to quench one's thirst? It is not possible. I don't know how I'm going to maintain my life.
And then Sri Radharani embraced him. And she said, "Do you not recognize me? I am your Radha. You did not recognize me." And in this way, all of Krishna's innermost heart's desires were fulfilled.
Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadira Dira Govinda Sarva Karanakaranam. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. He's controlling material existence. He's controlling all spiritual worlds. He manifests Virat Rupa before Arjuna.
But yet that absolute truth, Sri Krishna, who is the source of all incarnations, is conquered by the love of his devotee. This is the highest spiritual principle. Krishna is bhakta-vatsal. He is conquered by devotion. Even Narada Muni, he bathed in, after performing tapasya and prayers, he bathed in Kusum Sarovar to take a gopi form so that he can be a maidservant assisting Srimati Radharani.
And the great Shankar, Bhagavan Shiva, he performed tapasya and prayer and bathed in Mansarovar, the tears of Srimati Radharani, and became a gopi, Gopeshwar Mahadev, just to assist as a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. And Uddhava, the greatest bhakta of all of Dwarka, he prayed and performed tapasya to be a blade of grass so that the servants of the servants of the servants of Radharani would step on his head with their lotus feet. And Lord Brahma, Chaturmukh Brahma, the first living being of the universe who lives 311 trillion years, lives in Brahma Loka. He performed tapasya and offered prayers to become the mountains on which the house of Radharani and her associates would be situated in Barsana. Lord Brahma considered the most precious thing in all the creation was to have the dust of Srimati Radharani and her servants on the top of his head. In Vrindavan, when Krishna was lifting the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights, it was the gopi's strong conviction that where did that power come from? Because Srimati Radharani was gazing upon Krishna. She was infusing him with the strength to hold up Govardhan Hill. And whenever Krishna would kill a demon, what was Mother Yashoda's interpretation? Does any of you know? Yashoda Mai's interpretation, anytime Krishna killed this monstrous demons, which he did every day, she was thinking, because Radharani is cooking the bhoga for Krishna every morning at Pavan Sarovar, the power of her love, the power of her devotion, which goes into that bhog. When Krishna eats it, he becomes infused with such supernatural, unlimited strength that he can kill the demons. Yashoda Mai gives all credit to Radharani for the killing of the demons. As you know, Durvas Muni was served so nicely by Srimati Radharani that he gave her blessing that whoever eats the food that you cook will never get sick, always be healthy, and all his desires will be fulfilled. So Yashoda Mai, knowing that,
had Srimati Radharani cook at Pavan Sarovar for Krishna and his friends every day.
We were describing this morning that supreme love of Srimati Radharani in the most selfless and pure state toward Krishna manifests toward all living beings as compassion. Love and compassion are inseparable. Where there is love, there is selfless service in the spirit of compassion. Radharani is the power of love of God and also the power of compassion of God. There's a beautiful story that is told in Sri Braj Dham. Not far from Sri Radha Kund is a place called Shivakori. And I'd like to come closer to the end of tonight's lecture by telling this story. It is very instructive. During the time when Radha and Krishna were performing their leela in Braj Dham, there was a jackal. Now, how many of you want to have a jackal as a pet? Nobody. Jackal is considered the lowest caste of the animals. Even the animals don't like jackals. Yes? Jackals are just a nuisance. Even for dogs, the jackal is an outcast. So this scrawny jackal, they make horrible sounds when they scream, disturb everyone's minds. This jackal was being harassed by some children. They were just calling all bad names to the jackal and throwing rocks at the jackal, just throwing at his head, at his body. He was in so much, he was just running for his life and running, and they were throwing and throwing and beating him with sticks. And he, whoa, it's the life of a jackal. So this jackal ran into a hole in the ground to escape the beating and the torture of these children. And the children were having a good time. So after we got into this deep hole, the children lit the hole on fire. And the jackal was screaming for mercy. And Srimati Radharani heard the helpless cries of that jackal. This is my Radha Kund. No one should be suffering here. She instructed her foremost maidservant, Lalita Sakhi, to go to see what was happening. So Lalita Sakhi saw these children starting a fire around the jackal's hole. And she chased away these children. What are you doing? Get away from here. Get away from here. So the children went away. And then she put out the fire. And she brought the jackal out of the hole and presented her to Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani blessed that jackal with her mercy. That jackal attained eternal liberation from all sufferings and was given the ultimate perfection of pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Lord. That jackal attained the consciousness of a maidservant of Radharani in the spiritual world. Now, this story is not only historical, but it is also symbolic. That jackal represents all of us.
all the conditioned souls in this world.
We have left the treasures and the great wealth of loving service to the Lord in the spiritual world,
and we're living like jackals in this material world.
Just trying to enjoy the abominable substances of selfish material enjoyment,
like a jackal.
And the hole the jackal was in represents
the dark well of material existence.
In the darkness of the material existence, and the children represent our own karma. By the power of our own karma, the fire, the blazing fire of material existence is burning us. Does it make sense?
But if we just cry out with great faith and desperation for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, she will hear us chanting her holy name. If we call out for her mercy, Prabhupada explained in the purport today, she will hear our sincerity. And she will deliver us from the burning fire of material existence, relieve us of all of our previous karmas, and give us entrance into the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world.
Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, if we call out for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, who is the supreme embodiment of compassion, that is our only true hope in our lives. And devotees should cultivate that faith, that is our only real hope. We should not put our hopes in the fallible soldiers of material arrangements. If we call out for Krishna, he's very difficult to achieve. But Prabhupada explains herein, if we attract the mercy, the compassion of Srimati Radharani, she will approach Krishna. Please give this devotee your love and your affection. He is better than me. When Srimati Radharani appeals on our behalf, it is not possible for Krishna to refuse. Therefore, Prabhupada explains in today's purport that the devotees are very, very sincere and focused in calling out for the mercy of Srimati Radharani. In Imlital, Radharani left one of the Raslila dances, and Krishna was searching, and he came to that tree, which was a favorite tree of Srimati Radharani. And in separation, he was meditating upon her and chanting her holy names. And absorption, he actually assumed the sentiment of Srimati Radharani, and his beautiful blackish complexion turned resplendent like molten gold. At that moment, Srimati Radharani with her maidservants approached that place. And they saw Krishna in this beautiful golden form under the Imlital. Krishna transformed his body into Shamsundar again, from Gaurasundar to Shamsundar. And Srimati Radharani asked, "Can you explain this to me?" And he said, "What was in his heart?" He said, in separation from you,
I absorb myself in the mood of your love and separation. And remembering you, my body became golden like yours. He said, in the Kali Yuga, I will appear with your complexion to taste your sentiments of love. And with your compassion, I will spread your love to everyone and anyone who will simply accept it. Through broadcasting the Harinam Sankirtan movement of the chanting of the holy name. That is Lord Chaitanya. He appears once in a day of Brahma. Krishna, trying to understand the greatest of all mysteries, the sweetness of Radha's love, which he considers to be tens and millions of times more pleasing than anything he has ever experienced. Lord Chaitanya comes, Krishna, with the love of Radha, to taste that love and to distribute the nature of that love to all of us through Harinam Sankirtan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught how we should cultivate the chanting of the holy names. Prabhupada wrote in today's purport, Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. That spirit of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. It is that consciousness that will attract the mercy of the Lord to reveal himself within the beautiful sound of his name. Raghunath Das Goswami, he wrote a beautiful prayer expressing the supreme aspiration to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Radharani. Please know, Raghunath Das Goswami was the exclusive heir to Govardhan and Hiranya Majumadar, who were multimillionaires. They possessed vast tracts of land, huge estate. He left everything and lived in the simplest, most renounced state of life. But what was his aspiration? He offers his prayers, begging Srimati Radharani for her mercy. There is a hope which is sustaining my existence. With that hope, I am somehow passing my days through tedious times. That nectarine ocean of hope is keeping me alive. But my patience has reached its end. I cannot endure any longer. O Sri Radharani, if you do not show your grace to me, I am finished. I shall lose all desire to continue my life. Without your grace, I cannot stand to live another moment. And Vrindavan, which is dearer to me than my very life, has no appeal. It is painful. And what to speak of Vrindavan? What to speak of anything else? Without you, Srimati Radharani, even Krishna has no appeal to me. It is shameful to utter such words, but I have no love even for Krishna, and lessen until you accept me as the servant of the servant of your servants.
Raghunath Das Goswami is our Prayojana Acharya. He is teaching the highest level of pure love.
And his ultimate aspiration is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. It is his hope, it is his prayer to receive that mercy.
Thakur Bhakti Vinod prayed that let me leave this world in Kurukshetra. Because in Kurukshetra, the supreme object of my worship, Srimati Radharani, is in the greatest need of my service. It was there that she is meeting Krishna after a long time, but she is seeing Krishna as the Prince of Dwarka. Without his peacock feather, his cows, she was seeing him with the armor of a great warrior, surrounded by elephants and chariots and military men. She longed to bring him back to the bank of the Jamuna under the Kadamba trees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays that the ultimate perfection of all of his aspirations is to serve the dust of the lotus feet of those who have taken shelter of Srimati Radharani. So yes, this principle of servant of the servant of the servant is, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, the ultimate aspiration we should pray for. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved spiritual master, so dear to Sri Radharani, spreading the glories of Krishna Nam throughout the world. If somehow or other we can just please him, then we should have full confidence. If we just become the servant of his servants, or the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants, we should know with absolute certainty that Srimati Radharani's supreme compassionate mercy will shower upon us. And how to do like that? To learn this spirit of humility and service. Trinadapi sunichena taro ivasa hishnana amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. And in that spirit, Lord Chaitanya taught us to take shelter of the holy name and to share the nectar of the holy name with others. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra are the names of Sri Radha and Krishna. Hare is addressing Hara. And the great Acharyas describe who is Hara. Hari is Krishna, who steals away all the inauspiciousness from our hearts. And Radharani is Hara, which means she has the power to steal Krishna's mind, to steal Krishna's heart with her love. So when we chant Maha Mantra, we are crying out for Srimati Radharani's compassion. And we are crying out for the supreme, all-attractive mercy of Krishna. By addressing her first, Hare Krishna, by calling her name Hare with sincerity,
then Krishna will be very, very pleased. And when we call out His name, He will attract our hearts.
Thus, Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have taught us that there is no greater medicine in this age of Kali for curing the disease of envy, ego, pride, lust, and illusion,
and attracting the supreme mercy of Sri Radha Gopinath.
Enechi asadi maram. Harinam mahamantra lautum. Enechi asadi maram. Nashivara lagi. Harinam mahamantra lautum imagi. Mahaprabhu taught there is no better medicine
to restore our pure love, our healthy spiritual condition, than the chanting of the names of Radha Krishna in Maha Mantra.
On this most auspicious festival of Sri Radhastami, which is a day which is like the deity amongst days of Srimati Radharani, a day where her mercy, her compassion is especially accessible to all those who pray sincerely according to the guidance and directions of the great souls. Let us pray as Lord Chaitanya has taught us. The only thing worth praying for is the pure devotion to the Lord and His devotees. We see the great souls, they are praying for the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, which means the service of the Vaishnavas. They are praying for a real taste to hear and chant the names of the Lord, because that will please the Lord. This we should pray for. If you want better business, more pleasurable family life, if you want prestige and success, or good grades on your exams, or any of these other temporary things, then there's Ganesh Chaturthi, and there's Durga Puja, and you can readily get those things. But Radhastami is not the place and time to ask for those things, because Srimati Radharani has nothing to do with those things. If you ask her for those things, she is Hara, the consort of Hari. She may take everything away out of compassion. We approach Srimati Radharani only for one thing, to beg her, give me pure love. Let me be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. Let me please your beloved Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas with my body, my mind, my words, and my life. Give me the strength to be a true devotee, to maintain my vows, and to offer my heart and soul for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. And in this spirit, let me chant your holy names, and let me inspire the devotees, and inspire whoever I come in contact with
to receive your supreme unlimited mercy by chanting Hare Krishna.
Pragosh Prabhu, would you like to speak something, please? Could we give microphone, please? Today's Gopal Darshan. Pragosh Prabhu, did you see Gopal today? Sri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Srimati Radharani enthroned as the Queen of Vrindavan. I can tell very briefly this story. After Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights, Lord Indra and all the devatas went to what is now called Govindakund. They performed Abhishekam for Krishna and coronated him, the real Indra, the real king. And they gave him the name Govinda. So Govindakund is the place where all the demigods coronated Krishna as the Supreme Lord of all Lords, as their master. When Vrindadevi heard of this at Imli Tal, that sacred place, she performed the coronation ceremony for Srimati Radharani as Vrindavaneshwari, the Queen of Vrindavan. And Krishna, who was already coronated the king of all kings, he came and offered his head and bowed down to Vrindavaneshwari and accepted her as his own master. That is the power of her love. So here Srimati Radharani is manifesting, or Krishna, Gopal, is manifesting this wonderful lila of Srimati Radharani, who is Vrindavaneshwari, the goddess and queen of all of Vrindavan. Yes, Pragosh.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, the only thing I can really offer is to say what I'm sure everyone in this room is probably thinking and feeling. And if you had this microphone in your hand, you'd be willing to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In fact, let me hear everyone say, thank you. Again, please. Thank you. If you say something three times, it's confirmed. So we say three times, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. That went over my head. It's too inconceivable. Thank you very much for your endless encouragement upon us. Now, we're supposed to end by 10 o'clock. And since we're very obedient, let us, with great, great enthusiasm and devotion, celebrate Sri Radhashtami by chanting and dancing in a very prayerful and blissful mood. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.